Welcome to the White House Family Spoken Novels Podcast, episode 84. Today we're reading chapter 29 of the novel and family drama Just One Stop, book 2, by Daniel White III with his wife Marika White. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Proverbs 25:26. The Lord blessed Jonathan and Monica with an enjoyable time in St. Kitts. "I will never forget these 2 weeks," Jonathan said as they boarded the plane. "Me neither," Monica said. They returned home to find everyone and everything in place and doing well. There was a plaque with the words, "Congratulations on your new life," on his desk when he returned to the job. Cherise, pretending not to be paying any attention, listened intently to the conversation between him and Clarence. "He did not want me to know about his marriage, so I will pretend not to know who put the plaque on his desk." "So did you enjoy your honeymoon?" Clarence asked. "I sure did," Jonathan said. "Here's a little gift for you. My wife insisted we get you something." Clarence opened his bag to find a colorful island shirt. "Isn't this lovely, Cherise?" Clarence said, showing off his shirt. "I'm going to put it on right now," he said, unbuttoning the buttons. "You be sure to tell your wife I say thank you. I tell you, Cherise, he has a beautiful wife, and that wedding was something else." Cherise did not respond as she was upset at Jonathan for not telling her about his marriage. She had to admit she was jealous over a woman she had never even met. Looking across at Cherise, Jonathan said, "Don't worry, Cherise. My wife sent something for you, too." Handing Cherise the other bag, a bright smile broke out across her face as she eagerly took the gift. Inside was a beautiful, colorful native dress. "Ooh, thank you so much, Jonathan. Be sure to tell your wife thank you and that I hope to meet her soon." Turning to Clarence, who already had his shirt on, she said, "I'll just try this on later. Sure hope it's the right size. It's beautiful." She folded the dress carefully and put it back in the bag. "So do you like my gift?" she said to Jonathan, motioning to the plaque on his desk. She glanced at his fingers to see the ring, still finding it hard to believe that he was now married. "Yes, he does," Clarence said. "We were talking about it a moment ago. Now let's get back to work." The Lord blessed Jonathan and Monica with a great first year of marriage. They continued serving at New Mount Zion. Monica kept her job at the pediatrics clinic, and Jonathan continued working at Computer Plus Technologies. He enrolled in the new minister's class taught by Pastor Richardson. The church was expanding the educational arm of its ministry to include several four-year Bible college degree programs, including world evangelism, church planting and evangelism, pastoral studies, and Christian education with its focus on the elementary grades. The new minister's class was a 9-month program for those who already had their degree but who wanted more hands-on training while waiting to launch out on their own. Their first child arrived in their second year of marriage. The Lord blessed Jonathan and Monica with a baby boy. They named Jonathan Mitchell Mitch Reynolds Jr. Monica's pregnancy was a little bit of an unusual struggle, and it took a toll on her emotionally, physically, and mentally. It was during this time that Jonathan began to notice a change in Monica's overall attitude and spirit. Her consistent cheerfulness that he had seen throughout their early years together now seemed to be up and down. His mind was occupied with other things that he did not take the time to keep up with what was going on at home. But he was taken aback by her short and snappy responses at times. On one particular day, he left her pleasant enough, but returned to a despondent wife. "Don't tell me you're going through your emotional cycle again," he said, after not receiving her normal upbeat response to his greeting. This day, as at some other times, Monica did not want to be bothered with anyone. For the most part, she kept her moodiness under control. But today, she just let it all out. "And what if I am? You know, sometimes a person just wants some time alone," she said nonchalantly. "Alone time," Jonathan said. "Lest you have forgotten, Mrs. Monica Reynolds, you're now a wife and will soon be a new mother. There won't be much of any alone time, as you call it." Monica sighed and rolled her eyes as she slid the dinner plates onto the table, followed by the Pyrex stew of vegetable lasagna. Jonathan stared at the new dish. Vegetable lasagna was one of his favorite meals, but what he saw before him did not look like anything he had ever seen his mother make. Not waiting on his wife, who was moving slower than normal to fix his plate, as she oftentimes did, he reached over to help himself to a huge serving. The lasagna slithered off the serving spoon and back into the Pyrex tray, as bite-sized pieces of carrots and peas dropped onto the table. "New dish, Monica," he said with a chuckle. "You don't have to serve it. Give me the honors." Pulling his plate before her, she skillfully placed three dripping spoonfuls on his plate. "There, enjoy it," she said with a faint smile. "Amazing," Jonathan said. "Aren't you going to join me? I'm not hungry." Jonathan managed to place a forkful in his mouth. The noodles slithered down his throat, causing him to choke. "Tasteless, mushy, no more." "Listen, Monica, we have to talk," he said, dropping his fork onto his plate. "We cannot continue like this. You're going to have to get control of your mood swings, which are becoming more frequent." Monica stared at him as though he was speaking a foreign language. "It's not fair to me, and it won't be fair to any children we may have, to go through this roller coaster ride with you. I've lovingly put up with it for a couple months now, and I'm not going through it anymore, and I won't have any of our children to go through it with you either. You can have your attitude during your alone time, but not when we're together." "But Jonathan, you're not me. You're not a woman, and you'll never know what we women go through, nor will you know how I feel." "Whoa," Jonathan said, leaning forward. "Here we go again with feelings. I'm not going to get caught up in your feelings, but this is one thing I do know, and that is, this saying among black folk that if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, is not going to work in this house. No, ma'am. If something is bothering you, talk about it. Tell me what is going on with you, but just know that I am not going to let your feelings control the atmosphere in this house or determine the direction of this family on any given day." Monica sighed, rolled her eyes, and looked away. "See what I mean, the rolling of the eyes? That has to go back to wherever you got it from," he said, almost shouting. Monica jumped as he raised his voice. "Look at me." He had never raised his voice to that level before. "You also tend to mess up the food during your feeling sorry for yourself moments." But sometimes I just don't feel like myself. I don't feel like I've told you before, you cannot act on your feelings. You have to act on facts, the facts of God's word, all the time." "None of us can depend on our feelings," Jonathan continued. "I don't feel like going to work all the time. I wish I could lay on the beach on one of those Hawaiian islands all day, sipping a piña colada. I wish I could spend all our days on that beautiful beach in St. Kitts. But if I acted on my feelings, we would not have this apartment, and we would not be looking into buying our own home soon. In fact, we'd be broke." He took a sip of his fruit punch that could use a lot more sweetener. "I don't always feel like praying. If I followed my feelings, I would not pray. And if I did not pray down the Holy Spirit's restraining power on this marriage, we would not be having this civilized conversation." Fanning his hand toward the lasagna, he continued, "Do something with this. Maybe you can drain the liquid off, bake it some more, and save it. But whatever you do, we do not waste food in this house. Too many starving children would love to have it." Monica was almost in tears. Jonathan was right. "So what will it be?" Jonathan asked. He was never one to leave an argument open. "Let's deal with this now so we can move forward." Closing her eyes for a few seconds, Monica replied, "I'm sorry. I thought I had this area of my life under control. It just seems to creep up on me." "Well, you don't have it under control." His tone softened. "It's funny, but I never saw this in you before we got married. Whatever the case, we can't let it disrupt the family." Rising from his seat, he gave her a hug. "Don't be embarrassed, just recognize it and do what you have to do to get it under control. The only solution I have is for you to pray and ask God to help you get the victory in this area. And let me know something ahead of time, will you?" Monica nodded as she determined in her heart to fight the negative feelings that sometimes got her down. I won't let them defeat me, she thought. I never will. Thank you for joining us for this episode of White House Family Stories. You may purchase a copy of this novel and any other Christian fiction books read on this podcast from Amazon.com. Now, dear listener, please know that God, the divine author of all things, wants to write a great story with your life as well. But first, you must give Him the pen by trusting Him with the life He gave you and surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ as Savior. Here is how.